Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for June 25th. I'm your host, Paul White. Today, I bring to you the beginning of what will be a few days of a Q&A session that sort of just dovetailed into a mini-sermon. I was with a home group in Buford, Georgia. The question was asked, what does it look like to walk in the Spirit? That was a good question, particularly at the time, because I had been in the fifth chapter of Galatians with you, our DDP audience, and so some of that stuff was fresh on my heart. So today's session really just deals with that question, what does life in the Spirit look like? This session takes about 7.5 minutes, and then I'll come back and give you a little outro and lead you in for the next few days. Let me start here. I think we have made the Holy Spirit too detached from our idea of the Father. And I want to be, you got to be careful with this because some people will construe this as an attack on the Trinity. But I think we've become so Trinity-minded that in some ways we've almost hurt the fullness of the Godhead. Paul calls the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form to be the man Christ Jesus. Big phrase that means whatever is in God, the fullness of who God is, and we could go the rest of our lives trying to find out the fullness of God. But whatever that is, was wrapped up in a man named Jesus. Okay? Jesus says, I and my Father are one, which what he's saying is whatever Dad thinks is what I think, and whatever Dad says is what I'm going to say. And there's not this dichotomy. There's me working down here on earth, and then there's Dad over there in heaven, and I'm trying to do the right thing. Jesus didn't. He didn't talk to us that way. He said, this is who the Father is. You want to know what God looks like? Take a look. Not take a look at what he might look like someday or take a look at what he could look like through you. I think we mess that up sometimes in our journey to try to see God as we go, well, we could see God through us if we would act like Jesus. That's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, no, this is God, what you see me do, okay? But everywhere he goes, he's moving and he's functioning in the power and the anointing. Remember in Luke 4, he reads from the scroll of Isaiah and he says, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He has anointed me. That's a smearing. To the Jewish mind, I'm smeared over by the Spirit of God. Okay, that's anoint. That's why you anoint someone with oil. You might smear across the forehead or wipe it across the head or whatever. That's to anoint. So Jesus is like, I'm anointed. I'm smeared over with the Holy Spirit. And what I touch, he touches. And what I say, he says. He gets to the end of his ministry. And he says, okay, I got to go. It is expedient. It is good for you. It is profitable for you for me to go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. And so Jesus vanishes and then releases the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Now, what we've done with a couple thousand years of church history is we've developed these sort of distinctive personalities of God, and we call them God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We call that the Trinity, a word, by the way, that's not in the Bible. You're going to dig through your Bible trying to find the verse that says the word Trinity, and you're not going to find it. That doesn't mean that that's not a real concept, but I think we've taken that to the nth degree. And so we've got God's over here, and Jesus is over here. In fact, we've got God here and Jesus here because we take this right hand of the Father stuff real literal. Like God's on a big throne and over here on his right hand is a man named Jesus who's sort of taking care of interceding for all of us sinners because God is holy and just and slightly angry and Jesus is calm, Dad, calm down because I've met her and she's one of mine. And then we got the Holy Ghost. It's almost like the sheriff, the high sheriff of heaven who's out on the hunt. Or he's like a guard dog, you know. But whatever he's doing, he's like the lackey of heaven. Okay, what God needs done, he's going to send the Holy Ghost to do it. So if he needs to convict you, send the Holy Ghost. If he needs to heal you, send the Holy Ghost. If he needs to save somebody, send the Holy Ghost. So I think, I see a lot of nods because I think that's kind of like almost like basic theology for most of us in Christianity. And I think it's basically wrong. Okay? I think New Testament-wise, it's basically wrong. It's a construct of our own systems of government, the whole kingly idea of there's a king on the throne and he's got the lackey that goes out and does his work. We put our ideology into theology, and we went, this must be what God looks like. Well, Jesus comes along, and John says in John 1, no one's ever seen God at any time. Nobody knows what he looks like. You think you know what God is because you read the Old Testament, but you don't. And then came Jesus. And Jesus is showing you what God looks like. He says, this is how much I love people, and this is how I treat people, and I'm not a respecter of persons, and I don't care what your past is, and I can change your future, and I, all of these wonderful things, this, it's all wrapped up in the man, and he's smeared over of the very essence of God, so that when he releases the Holy Spirit, if we'll look at it through that lens, it's not God releasing the third part of heaven. Dad and Jesus are up there and then the Holy Ghost. It is heaven. The release of the Holy Spirit into the church is the release of the heavenlies into the earth in broad form. One of the hardest things for us to get is that Jesus goes away so that we can have the Holy Spirit. He says, it's better for you if I go away. You need the Holy Spirit. If I stay here, you don't have this. You don't have Dad's Spirit in you everywhere you go. You just have me. And as much as we all would say, wow, wouldn't it be great if Jesus were here in the flesh? Jesus' response to that would be, yeah, it'd be great for this room. But it wouldn't be so great for that house or for that house. And when you guys go home, wouldn't be so great for you at all because I'm still in this room. What's better is if I could diffuse Dad's nature, which is in me, and what we're talking as Jesus now, the Father, I could just diffuse that into you. Just give you Dad. Well, that'd be a lot better than let's go see Jesus. So when you think of the Father or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, I don't think in terms of different entities and different heavenly bodies and deities. You think in terms of the Holy Spirit, that is the voice of God in your life. That is the instruction of Jesus in who you are. And he never leaves you and he never forsakes you. And wherever you go, he goes. And so where the voice of the Holy Spirit is wherever you are. And so being led by the Spirit is not this mystical, difficult thing to do. It's learning to govern yourself by the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of your own flesh. And the kingdom of your own flesh is do what you can do to get what you can get. We call it do good and get good and do bad and get bad and whatever. It sounds like law. That's because it's very much like the system of the world. And then there's the kingdom of God, which functions by the Father's love and by grace, and we respond to that. And so living according to the Holy Spirit is not this hard thing that we do. It is what we do. It is who we are. We live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We are not the flesh. All right, I hope you enjoyed that little session with that home group. Tomorrow, we're going to continue in this line of thought, and we'll work our way into our text from Galatians 5. And I think you're going to enjoy it, because I think you get to see a little bit of how some of the questions just sort of merge right into some of the thought processes we've had coming right out of these DDPs. And so we'll do that tomorrow. Until then, God bless.